Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life Connection with host Janine Davis and co-host Kayla O'Connell. Today's guest is Dr. Rob Randall, author of The Invisible War.
Good morning and welcome to Vine Life Connection. Thank you for tuning in with us and connecting to the vine, the true vine, which is Jesus. This morning we have in our studio Kayla, our co-host, and Dr. Rob Randall. He is a third-generation evangelist. For over a quarter of a century, he has been at the forefront of the spiritual battle within the church. Through area-wide crusades and conferences and local church revivals, Dr. Randall has held over 700 gospel meetings, presenting the claims of Christ upon the lives of men, women, boys, girls, and young people. Dr. Randall holds the B.A. and Master of Divinity and Ph.D. degrees from Baylor University, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Louisiana Baptist University. And Dr. Randall's books are The Invisible War and Lies That Kill. They are being widely used within the church to bring spiritual healing and cleansing to many. Wow. Praise God. Good morning, Dr. Randall.
You're so precious to have me today. Thank you, Sister Janine, for the opportunity of sharing with your listeners today.
Well, I really believe that what we're going to talk about is going to bless the masses.
Well, I'm blessed already just Amen. To be in your sweet presence and in the presence of the Lord.
Thank you. So I just have to ask this question. What is a nice Southern Baptist doing in the work of deliverance?
Well, that's a great question. I am a third generation evangelist. My father was an evangelist, and my grandfather was a Southern Baptist evangelist as well. And my son came home with an over-counter drug addiction from Ouachita Baptist University. And 21 years old, I was in a tent meeting in North Central Texas. Mm-hmm. My wife called me and said, "Your son is home. You need to come home. He has something he needs to tell you." I said, "Honey, what is it?" And I could tell from the sound of her voice, this was serious. So when I got home, I found my 21-year-old son, head in his hands, despondent, discouraged, depressed. And he said, "Daddy, I'm being tormented. I'm going to die." You know, Janine, that's a very powerful word. I said, "Son, what's going on?" He said, "I have an over-counter drug addiction." Yes, cheap, legal, but deadly.
Absolutely.
And he said, "I cannot stop." So immediately, I went back to my experience in the Jesus movement when I was a young man. And we heard this preached a lot. You don't hear it preached at all now. But back then, folks were coming to Christ off the streets, off the drug culture.
Yes.
And we learned that the word for witchcraft in the New Testament is pharmakia. We get the word pharmacy or drug from it. So I knew the spiritual connection, even though I didn't know what to do about it.
Okay.
I had not been trained to even know how to handle it. I remember a counselor friend of ours, I told him one day, I said, I didn't understand all this. He said, "Yes, you did." I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Yes, you did." He said, "You knew that Jesus is Lord." I said, "Yes, I knew that." He said, "You knew demons were real. You knew Satan was real." I said, "Yes, sir." And he says, "You also knew the Bible is the Word of God."
Amen.
Yes. He said, "What you didn't know is how to engage." And that's where we are.
Yes.
We have learned, because of the need of our own family, how to engage in the spiritual battles with the forces of darkness.
I want to ask you something. So many in the traditional church have neglected the study of spiritual warfare. Why do you think that is, Dr. Randall?
I think it's several reasons. Let me mention just a couple that seem obvious to me.
Okay.
You know, when Jesus comes, he does three things. In Luke chapter 4, he saves the lost, he heals sick folks, and he sets the captives free. You and I can't do any of these things by ourselves. We can't save anyone, we can't heal anybody, and we don't set anybody from the clutches of Satan. Only when we become, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, workers together with him, empowered by the Spirit of Christ, can we enter into the supernatural workings of our Lord. As a churchman, having served churches over 30 years, you know, we like to gravitate toward the places of comfort. Mm-hmm. We do. We want churches to be places where folks will want to come. We don't want to scare them away. We want them to come. We want to fill our pews up, as it were. And in the church today, we don't like to feel like we've lost control. And that's really the issue. We're afraid of losing control. But the church, may I remind all of us, is not our church. Did you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say we're to build God's church? He said, I will build my church.
Amen.
Now think about that.
Yes, he did.
She is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And the other reason why I see that we so often neglect this study concerning spiritual warfare is that we speak of the devil all day long. The devil did this and the devil did that and the devil really came against me today. You've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard it, and he loves it when we give him glory.
That's it. But as soon as the word demon enters the conversation, fear jumps up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, fear is a spirit. The
yes,
Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. It's
Amen.
A spirit himself. Too often we allow fear to control our spiritual agendas. When it comes to the biblical study, there's really no shortcut. That's why I wrote this book, The Invisible War, and Living in Victory Over the Enemy, because we haven't done the study, and there's no real shortcut.
Now, I want to ask you, because my listeners out there are probably wondering, what do you mean by the invisible war?
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, we find these words. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are invisible are eternal. And in Hebrews 11:1, a passage most of us know well, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things
not seen.
Not seen.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
The invisible stuff.
The invisible stuff.
Okay. There are two opposing kingdoms clearly taught in the Bible. According to Paul's writings to the church at Colossae, for he delivered us. If you've been saved, you've been delivered.
Amen. Would you say that again?
If you've been saved, you've been delivered. Don't throw that word away. That's a good word. It's a Bible term.
Yes.
He delivers us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom. He transfers us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The name Satan means adversary or the one who opposes God. That's his name. There are clearly two kingdoms, and they are at war. The kingdom of righteousness and the kingdom of unrighteousness and sin, which brings death and sorrow. We see casualties of the war everywhere. War, starvation, murder, rape. It's hard to even listen to the nightly news without seeing all this mess, the incest and drug addiction, abortion, homosexuality, and suicide all around us is a result of this supernatural battle that's going on all around
us. Now, when I was meditating and praying over the show last night, when you were talking about the casualties, the murder, rape, and so forth, I began to meditate on God's kingdom and the benefits. God's kingdom have benefits and Satan's kingdom has casualties.
That's it.
Night and day.
That's it. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God said, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. For every strategy of the enemy, let me put it this way. For every angel that fell, there's two that didn't.
Glory to God.
Okay. For every strategy of the enemy, I have never confronted a demon. Hear me carefully. I have never had to confront a demon that did not bow in the presence of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
All authority is given to me both in heaven and in earth. The question is, not is Jesus Lord? He is Lord. Heaven knows it. Hell knows it. The question is, are we willing to walk as the church, as the body of Christ, in that authority?
Yes, and taking dominion over the kingdom of darkness. We have dominion in Jesus' name.
Well, we're talking about spiritual authority. And here we have a society today that is going the other way. And later on, maybe we can talk more about what more does the church have to do to wake up the dead, which is Christ's body.
She's preaching so hard, she's beating the table. I love it. Well, let me just say this, okay? It is walking in the authority of Christ is not just about getting saved. Yes, you got to get saved and receive what Christ did for us at Calvary. That's the beginning. But that's not the end of it.
Right.
There are two aspects to salvation. We Baptists are good on the first. Okay? We want to get folks saved.
I didn't say it.
Hallelujah.
He said it.
I'm
praise
for
God.
It. Listen,
that's
I've
right.
spent my life. I've spent my life calling people to repentance. I believe in that. It's of Christ. We are to present every man complete in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
But hear me. There are two aspects to salvation. One is positional. We are saved. And we like to sit there. We like to rest on our position. But there's much more. There is progressive.
Yes.
Progressive salvation.
Application
progressive
salvation.
Sanctification,
yes.
If you please.
Yes.
It is the process by which we are being made like Christ. Yes, once you're saved, you're going to heaven. Nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand. And he's talking about the enemy there. Yes, nobody has the power to pluck them out of the Father's hand. His power is greater than all. But there is a process that we have been saved to walk in, and that is to be made like Jesus.
Yes, that's good. That's really good. Now, I want to talk about this because Kayla and I kind of touched on this on the way over. We hear terms like possession, oppression, and demonization. What do you believe concerning the Christian's relationship to these terms?
We in the church seem to run to the quickest place, as I said earlier, of our comfort zones, if you please. We have a tendency to use the definitions that assume some things that the Bible just doesn't. Now, let me say it this way again. If we're going to walk in kingdom power, we have to walk in a biblical worldview. The Bible is not just a history book. Yes, it's about history. It's not just a religious book. Yes, it's about religion. Yes, but it is far more than that. The Bible is a supernatural book about the supernatural. And if you don't see it that way, there's no way you can understand this war that's going on between the kingdoms. How do I know that there is a war going on between two kingdoms? Because the Bible says so. How do I know that the authority in Christ can conquer anything? How do I know that? That every demon has to bow. How do I know that? I know that because the Bible says so.
Yes.
I know my victory.
Yes.
Because of the scripture. I have to walk in the truth of the Word of God. Not just, yes, I believe doctrine. Yes, I believe certain things. No. That's important. Doctrine is important. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm not trying to minimize doctrine. But what I'm saying is, it must be a way of life.
Yes. Oh, yes. And the supernatural, you're talking about supernatural. We're supernatural beings. We are spirit. The Bible says to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And a lot of people, when you start talking, even hearing the word supernatural, They get spooked and want to run the other way, not realizing that we're made in the image of our Father.
Well, we are supernatural beings. Everything in the supernatural world around us affects everything in our lives. That's a reality. Let me give you scripture on that. Okay, you don't have to take my word, take God's word.
Amen.
Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as
it is in heaven.
This relationship to separate, and I know we're in the West. I know we have a Western mindset where we separate the natural from the supernatural. The Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible knows nothing of a separation between the natural and the supernatural. Everything we see in the natural is affected, directly affected, by what's going on in the supernatural.
So what we see has been manifested.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
The good stuff, the blessings.
Yes.
It's of God.
Thank you, Lord.
It's of God. You're alive today. I want to speak to your wonderful listeners. You're alive today because Jesus is life. If he had not willed your life to exist today, you wouldn't be here. Where there's life, there's hope. Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to ask you something else that I find very interesting. Why do you believe, Dr. Randall, we seem to have more attention to the reality of spiritual warfare than we used to?
Okay, couple of things. I want to go back to your other question because we didn't nail it down. Okay, I want to nail this down. We have to go to the scriptures to get our definitions. The word used in the original language is diamazomai. It literally means one who has or had a demon. That's all it means. It doesn't talk about whether it's inside or outside. It means there's a demonic assignment. And I don't know about you, if there's a demonic assignment in my family, I want it gone.
Amen.
I don't care where it is. I want it gone. We argue about whether it's inside or out or whether... We don't understand all that. What are we arguing about? If it's there, if it's still kill and destroy, we want it gone.
It's got to go.
It's got to go.
And generational speaking, too.
Yes. There are three areas that all of us have to visit to walk in the freedom of Christ. And that is the area of sin. Sins we've committed. Sin is the avenue demons travel. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to come into agreement with the truth of Almighty God. That's what confession is, coming into agreement with what God has said. We have to tell the truth. Secrets kill and secrets destroy. Number two, things that have happened to you, sins that have been committed against you. That's in the area of bitterness and forgiveness. We can understand this because the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place. So if you, like I, many times this is my area because I can religiously judge you. I am seminary trained. I'm a preacher. I have degrees.
Okay.
I can judge you.
Okay.
And feel good.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
And the devil is looking around
at any opportunity. Don't give the devil a place. That word place is tapas. We get the word ground or opportunity. It's translated opportunity in another translation. Don't give the devil a place to work. And I'm guilty.
Oh, I'm guilty.
I'm guilty.
I'm guilty also.
And I'm telling you, I don't want to cooperate with the enemy at all. I'm a saved child of God. I don't want to walk in cooperation with the darkness. And when I judge, when I do that, because the Bible says don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture says don't do it.
Don't
so
do
when
it.
I come out of agreement with the word, I open the door up to the work of the enemy in my life. And the third area, and that's what you brought up, is ancestral sin.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible teaches clearly. By the way, I don't like this teaching. I don't like anything
Why?
About it because I don't like it.
Why?
But it's still true. I am affected. My children are affected. My grandchildren are affected. And by the way, we have four and two in the chute. Two in the cook.
Wow.
Okay. So our family's growing and being blessed, and mm-hmm. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. But I want you to know that the sins of the fathers visits the generations to the third and fourth mm-hmm, generation. Mm-hmm. That's a minimum mm-hmm. of 120-year curse mm-hmm. upon a family.
Yes.
Illegitimate birth? I didn't write this, but the Bible says it. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, there is a 300-year curse, a 10-generation curse, if anyone in your family, in your lineage, was born out of wedlock. Now, here's the good news. Jesus became the curse. He sacrificed himself to pay the penalty for all curses.
Yes, he paid it all.
All of it. Now listen to me. This is what's important. Please hear me. Please hear my heart. Okay? It is not automatic. Just because you have been saved, your cleansing is available. Yes, but it's not automatic. I may have a bank account with millions of dollars, which I don't have, but let's say I had a bank account with millions of dollars in it. Those dollars mean absolutely nothing if I don't draw from that account.
Amen.
You have, as a joint heir with Jesus, everything that God has given his son. You have a legal right to it, freedom from sin. Yes, freedom from death. You're going to live again. Hallelujah. You have freedom from the devil, but it's not automatic. You have to draw by faith. You have to draw, as Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, there is that day when we must take out the sword and drive the Canaanite out of the land. There comes that time when the evil ones have to be confronted, and you have to look at them and in the authority of Christ, not my children, not my son, not my daughter, not my family, not my ministry. No, you are not welcome. Leave. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, they have to go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. I love that. And I want you to know that there is freedom available in Jesus' name. Now, we've already gone through and talked about a little bit about the oppression and demonization, but this has been a question that's been brought to me and many others within the body of Christ. Is it possible, Dr. Randall, for a believer to be too consumed with demons? Because my husband, John, you know, he's right on it right here. You know, he always says, you know, don't talk about that. You don't glorify the devil. Glorify God. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about the solution. And when I'm mad at him, he's the problem, okay?
Let me ask it this way. If you had a thief walking in your home, you gonna just talk about the daffodils outside? Are you just gonna talk about the flowers and the flower pots? Are you gonna do something about it?
I want them out.
Yeah, exactly. Now here's the point. Of course, there is a danger to be too preoccupied with the dark kingdom. In fact, curiosity can get you hurt. No question about it. There are some folks that want to understand how evil the evil one is. Let me tell you, don't ever even think those thoughts. He's more evil than you can imagine. He is intrinsically evil. He is the evil one. And there's never been a human being, oh, hear me today, never been a human being that is not redeemable.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't care how evil they are. I don't care how broken they are. Jesus died for people. And he created us. God created us in his image. There's something precious about every human being. There is nothing redeemable about a demon. Nothing. So don't even go there. Don't even, just get rid of them. Mm-hmm. Just get rid of them. Just like you would an old nasty snake. Get rid of them, okay? Please hear me. I want you to know, C.S. Lewis put it this way, maybe you've heard this quote, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased with both errors.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're right. And we as Christians have to have a healthy balance. That's
how
just
do you
why
do that?
Within, by the Word of God.
It's a biblical balance.
It's a biblical
That's
balance.
It.
You can't.
That's it.
Thank you, Jesus.
If the Bible says it, believe it.
Believe it.
If the Bible speaks nothing of it, don't worry about it. But if the Bible speaks that certain diseases are healed because demons are there, then that's what it means.
Yes. I want to pose this next question to both of you, you and Kayla. First Kayla and then Dr. Randall. Why do you think a study of spiritual warfare is so important for the church, for the body of Christ today?
Well, my first initial response to that is yes, we need to know who the enemy is, but even more important than that, we need to know how to use the authority that has been given to us as Christians. And I find very few Christians know about the authority that they have.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we find these words. In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Well, Paul may have not been ignorant, but we sure seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that the more we study the scriptures, the more God is exalted.
Yes.
I want to say that again.
Thank you.
Don't just devotionalize the Bible. Read it.
And apply it.
Apply it. If it says do it, do it. Come into agreement with the Word of God. The enemy fears the person who is in agreement with the Word of God. Listen, it's the power of God. It's the authority of God. He doesn't fear us. He fears the authority of God. Please hear me. Deliverance is not about demons. What'd you say? Deliverance is not about demons. Yes, they have to be confronted. Yes, if they're there, they need to be gone. Deliverance, a spiritual warfare study of the work of God, is about our great God and His work. It's about Him. It's about Him.
Amen. Well, that's our time for today, but I want you to know Dr. Randall will be coming back doing part two of spiritual warfare in the end times. He's doing a conference, the Invisible War Conference, and it's going to be Saturday, May 26th at the Plano Center. For more information, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. Thank you, Dr. Randall.
Theinvisiblewar.org
okay.
as well. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless.
Bless
you. Thank you for the privilege.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life Connection, part one of the series of The Invisible War. Tune in next Saturday for part two. For more information, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. This program was brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.